We are in a, I don't know if I'd call it a series, it's just more of where my heart is at the moment, which is on evangelism. A couple weeks ago, we talked about relational evangelism, what it kind of looks like to go after the Francises, which if you weren't here, the Francises are friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, coworkers, strangers, I missed one. Enemies. Oh, don't forget the enemies. But those people that God puts on your heart that says, man, these are the people that my heart breaks for. And I'd asked you guys to spend a little bit of time just thinking about maybe one to two or, you know, most three if there's some Francises that come to mind who God has placed in your life. And then to start trusting that the Holy Spirit will open a door to either plant a seed, to water the relationship or the conversation, or to get to harvest, to get to share the story of Jesus to them and see them come to Christ. I want to continue this conversation because I think it not only is it a personal thing, but it's also a church thing. It's not just a one-off kind of deal, but rather evangelism isn't a program that we attend or a role we fill on Sunday as like I'm going to go out on the street corner and I'm going to go preach the gospel, which we can and it works. But what I think of when I think of evangelism is I think it's a way of living, that it's a lifestyle. So today's kind of evangelism, like expanding this evangelism conversation is really around lifestyle evangelism. Like how do we make it just so a part of who we are that it just becomes part of our daily lives? What changed the way that I think about this was realizing that lifestyle evangelism isn't just about becoming someone you're not. It's not trying to change who I am. It's about paying attention to where God has already placed you or myself and what he's already stirring in you. For me, I've talked about it before. It's been Walnut Grove Elementary. Spent years there working full-time and during that season, it became very clear who those Francises were at Walnut Grove. Who those people were that just needed Jesus. That needed to know that they were loved and that they were valued. But that season changed for me. I'm no longer there full time. Now I go there to sub or just to help out when I can. But that desire to reach that field, that neighborhood, that community has never left. I do get to sub there when I can and look for ways to bless, to pray, to listen, to eat together. There's times where I still get to go out with the team that I worked with and we get to go hang out after school for a meal or for drinks, get to serve them. Even now, I was there Thursday, and I wasn't working, I wasn't subbing, but I can't not work when I'm there, so I helped them with their parent pickup, and everybody was like, oh, who are you subbing for today? And I'm like, oh, I'm just here. And they're like, you can't get away, can you? And I'm like, nope, I love this place. And with the goal that through those blessings that eventually you get to share how much Jesus loves them. That's what I want to unpack this morning. What does it look like to live a lifestyle that is built around evangelism? To lean into where God has uniquely placed you, what he has built into you, and who he's giving you compassion for. The passage that I immediately thought of when I was thinking about this comes from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Because here's the thing, Jesus didn't wait for people to come to him. Now, people did, right? Like, people came in droves to follow him. But often he went to the people. He moved through towns and villages to where people actually are. And what drives him there isn't obligation or strategy. It was the compassion we talked about before. So I want to read this Matthew passage to you. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Oh, maybe there's the Lord speaking. It says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. There's three things that I want to notice in this passage. First is Jesus does go where the people are, to the towns, the villages, to the different fields. Not just the synagogue. He did go to the churches there at the time too and preached. And for not only preach, but also for himself too. He was going to church. But the field was out there. The second is one that we referenced a couple weeks ago, which is compassion is the engine. It was the motivator that drove him to those crowds. He doesn't see the crowds as an inconvenience. He's moved by what he sees. He sees that they're lost. They need healing. And he served them. He ministered to them. He healed them. He shared the good news with them. And the harvest that he's talking about frames everything, because the harvest represents the fields, the workers, and a God who is calling people out into them. That's what the picture that we're talking about with lifestyle evangelism. And it's what we see this morning, is that our fields look often, we can have multiple fields. It's not just one area that God is calling us to go into. But what we want to start to do is we want to start to think about, where has God placed us? Where are those opportunities that come? It could be a neighborhood. It could be a baseball field. Or it can be an elementary school where God is saying, this is the field. There's a harvest that is waiting. You're the worker. I'm sending you to it. This morning, I wanted to kind of do something a little different, which is invite John Keck to come on up. What do you want? Stool? John is someone I've watched live this concept out. And before we talk kind of further about the idea of the field that and the harvest that God is sending us to, I wanted you guys to hear a little bit of John's story directly from him about one of the fields that God has called, that has given him a heart for. So, John, can you why don't you tell us a little bit about your neighborhood, because I think one of the fields that God has clearly placed on your heart is your neighborhood.
Yeah, so Crystal and I moved into our neighborhood about 9 years ago this September. We've got almost a decade of kind of getting a feel for our neighborhood and who's there. And I think as we've worked on our own home and tried to kind of curate it to our needs, we've also looked beyond ourselves and looked at our neighbors and tried to make relationships and see some of their needs as well.
I was going to say that was kind of leading into my next question, which is what is, when you look at your neighbors and your neighborhood, like what has stood out to you about that neighborhood? Because it's an older neighborhood, like the house has been there for a long time. There's a lot of established houses and even some families and stuff too, but what's stood out to you?
Yeah, so our neighborhood is a mid-century neighborhood, put in about 50s and 60s. And a lot of the residents, a lot of the neighbors that we've come across are older. So they've been there since, a lot of them since the 70s, and we're starting to see that change a bit. But it's really opened up a lot of opportunities for us to see their needs. Our neighbor behind us is disabled, widowed, older, and so we've been able to serve there. We have got other neighbors that are in their 80s with dementia, and so opportunities there to serve as well as share Jesus with them. And then we have some younger families then too that we've been able to connect as we see them out and about in the neighborhood, walking past our property, and we're able to say hello and start to open those pathways of communication as they walk past our house.
Nice. So the question was gonna be what does serving them look like? But before we kind of get to what it looks like, what you have been serving your neighbors, but what was the motivation for that? Like what motivated you to say like, hey, I'm gonna go out and help with their yard or help serve?
Yeah, it wasn't something that came natural to me. Thinking back on it in my life, I've been a fairly selfish person. And my trade or skill has always been being an auto mechanic. And I think it was as I got into college in my late 20s and early 30s, people would just ask me to do mechanic work or computer work, and that was what it always was. And at times, I think I realized that, it became evident that I was serving. And so, in that, as I worked on my yard and stuff, I realized that God had placed us and rooted us in a neighborhood where I can take that same skill and apply it to other people. And it became more selfless to give to them and bless them in that.
So what has serving looked like in your neighborhood? Yeah. Like what's some of the tangible things?
So our neighbor behind us that I mentioned was widowed. We started working on her yard. She has some health issues that she ends up staying in the house mostly, and her yard was kind of falling in disrepair after her husband passed away about 10 years ago. 10 years ago? 20 years ago now? And so one of the things, she had always mentioned to us in conversation is how embarrassed she was about her yard. And so I just saw that as an opportunity of how can we foster the opportunity so that she can enjoy her yard, because she was a little, she was disappointed. She didn't want to go outside or anything like that. And so we looked at that opportunity of kind of cleaning up the weeds, cutting out some grass, removing some overgrowth out of her backyard, and trying to give her that that environment that she can try to enjoy in the backyard. But also just looking for opportunities where maybe the resource I have is something I can share. Recently, Kevin and I picked up an aerator and we were doing some yard work. And so I just went around to other neighbors and asked, hey, is this something that you need? And try to take care of their needs there.
Yeah, because unfortunately you have Kevin Williams as your neighbor.
Yeah, very unfortunate.
He's not in the building, but he went downstairs. But, yeah. What? So you've been serving kind of your neighbors for a while now. What has there been any like fruit that you've seen or anything that's kind of come through like that relationship?
Yeah, I mean one of the big things is just it's created for me, I guess courage to be able to share, because in the past I didn't know how to bridge the gap of sharing my faith with them, and so this actually created that bridge, that gap, to where like in that relationship and in that conversation, now I felt confident and comfortable that I could open up a little bit more rather than just like going to a stranger who you don't know and dropping it, right? You've built that relationship. You've created an environment where they know you, they trust you. It's given us opportunity to expand out to people that we don't know in our neighborhood and start to learn them better. Because, you know, it started with just the immediate neighbors around us, and then it's started to, the circle's widened out a bit as well.
Nice. So one of the things that stood out to me, so last year, if you were here, we had a chance as a church to go just along, come alongside. John had asked if we could come help him as he was working on his neighbors. I think we even have a picture of that. I'm going to make Daniel do double work. So that was the crew that came out to her house. And one of the things that stood out to me, and I'll let you kind of share it, was at the end when she got to see kind of your neighbor got to see the work that was done, you had a conversation with her. I don't know if you were, it stuck in my brain. I don't know if it did in yours. But what was her thoughts about us being there and about like just how you explained why, like, yeah. I think was the...
Yeah, so I had been probably for about a year just doing some real basic landscaping. And so she knew to expect me doing yard work on a regular basis, not always scheduled. It's just what you know, kind of fell in the schedule. I would find those opportunities. But I asked if anybody wanted to help out, and so we did this. And she wasn't known, or what's the word I'm looking for? We didn't tell her ahead of time. We were taking a big old group because I knew that she would like be hesitant, and so we just did it, right? Sometimes you gotta just like go out there and take the big bite. But her response was, it meant so much to her that not just her neighbor was doing this, but other people decided to join in and help her in an area of her daily life that she's unable to. And so she was in tears, she was taken back, and it really meant a lot. She still talks about it today. But it's definitely opened up the opportunity. Her dad's staying with her for the summer, and just talking with him, because she also shared with him, and he's asked about our church and where we go and stuff like that. And so it's really opened up a little bit there. And I think I want to continue to foster that through the summer as he visits, and kind of deepen that relationship with her dad too, because I don't know where he's at in his faith as well either.
I remember her saying she didn't deserve us doing the work. And I remember your response to her was, that yeah, you do, because God loves you, and because He loves you, I love you too, and that's why we're doing this. And I think that was such a huge moment of, it was a release for her, and it stuck in my brain, because I was just like, that's why we do this, is to share God's love to the people around us. So. Any last? I'll give you a chance to say that's off script. Is there anything that you wanted to share?
Just there's a couple scriptures that I thought that I looked up. The first one in Romans 12:6, and it talks about gifts. And just reflecting back on like how God had gifted me with an act of service that was obvious as far as like my technical ability and stuff like that. But then it translated later on. I feel like God will grow whatever you're naturally good at, he will grow it into what you might not know is like a more of a spiritual gift. But it talks about, Romans 12:6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And that just, that stood out to me. I think I lost my other bookmark.
That's a good one. What was the other one? You could summarize it. You don't have to find it if you can't.
It was just talking about when you serve, you're doing it to the Lord. Mm-hmm. You're not, you know, you're doing it for everybody in love that is in Christ, but you're doing it, do it as you are serving the Lord. And I know that's come up in relationship stuff too, that like when you are serving your spouse, or if you're in an argument, like you picture Jesus there. You look beyond what's going on, and you do it to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And in doing it to the Lord, you're doing it to others in love. But the other thing is also that I've had to look beyond some of the obvious things. I often get caught up in a lot of my own stuff and just thinking that like when it's really hard for me to serve one another is when the most fruit is going to come out of that. Mm-hmm. So even though I'm doing the work and it's grueling, it's I'm sweating, I remind myself that like this isn't for me. This isn't to build me up for anything. I'm serving them.
Well, thank you for sharing. I really appreciate it. Can we give John a hand for sharing? I have, over the years that I've gotten to know John and Crystal, it was very clear to me early on that their neighborhood was definitely one of the fields God had put them in, intentionally. And it's been cool to see not only did they get to do it, but then they've also gotten to partner with the Williams family and with other neighbors and stuff, and it's kind of built this community where even when they're serving one neighbor, the other neighbor is like, hey, what's going on over there? Like, what you guys doing? You know, that happened last year when we were all there serving. But I just appreciate that you, that's where your heart is. Like, you can see it. And you can see how God is giving you resources that aren't just that's your time and your energy and your some expertise or some knowledge at times to be able to serve that field well. And for me, this is what I'm talking about when I talk about lifestyle evangelism. And as a church, what I really love is that when people are leaning in to their strengths and they're leaning into the field that God's called them to, like the hope is that as a church, we get to come alongside and we get to partner and we get to celebrate and we get to participate in what they're doing and get to support them, as opposed to saying, oh, that's your thing. We're going to go do something else. And if you want to be a part of the church, you got to go do something else with us. Have you ever experienced that in church? Like where it's you might be excited or passionate about something, but what the church is saying is, nope, we have this other thing. But I think part of the job of the church is to come alongside and to foster that passion, to help equip and to help send. I want to tell you another quick story. This one is actually how the church kind of has maybe missed it when it comes to encouraging people to go out into their fields. And the cool part about it is I think it's redeeming. Like there's a redemption part at the end. But the story is Jason. So Jason is my best friend. I've known him. Julie's known him longer than I have. I think the elementary school. But I've known him since high school. And we grew up together up north in Puyallup. But he married a girl that lived in Hazeldale. Our family's from Hazeldale, and so they quickly, they ended up at our church at East Park, and then ended up here when it was Compass with us, and how awesome it was to get to not only, you know, be a part of a new church, and to be, you know, and all the fun of the church, but then I got to do it with, like, I got my best friend and his family are hanging out here. So they were a part of the church way back when. He and his wife were people who were gifted. They were gifted servants and leaders. They were willing. If you know Jason and his family, they love well. They love people well. They love their family well, and they will do just about anything. I think he's actually moved me, like my family, into new homes more than I've moved myself, where I've been gone, and he has helped move our stuff when I wasn't even there. So he is a servant at heart. So he comes to church, and they have young kids. They have two. They have a boy and a girl, and they have they're a young family. They're at church here. Our church is growing. There is a lot of energy and excitement, and we have an awesome kids ministry just like we do now. And the conversation was around, hey, we need workers. We're short workers in children's ministry. Can you, if you're a parent and your kid is participating in ministry, we'd like you to consider serving one Sunday. And of course, Jason and his wife, Corey, were like, yeah, I mean, of course we'll serve the family. So it started out, serve one Sunday. And then pretty soon it was like, hey, could you serve a second Sunday? And they're like, yeah, sure, we'll serve a second Sunday. Pretty soon it was like, hey, we're short again. Is there any chance that you guys could come down to the... Yeah, I guess we can do that. So they just started serving regularly and a lot. And the thing about Jason and Corey is that they're also very intelligent and gifted, and they're leaders. And it was all of a sudden became this natural ask that they could, that the leaders of the children's ministry here at the church said, you know what, you guys could lead, you could lead ministry here. Can you guys serve as the volunteer coordinators for all of our volunteers? And if you need to know, like, Allie is our coordinator for not only our volunteers, but for children's ministry. And what ends up happening a lot of times is that when there isn't a leader that shows up, or someone, you know, can't come on a Sunday and you can't find a replacement, then you become the leader for that Sunday. And so that's what was happening with Jason and Corey, is that they were basically living their life here every week, serving faithfully in the children's ministry, which was great. They actually really loved it. It was, talking with Jason, I just talked to him the other day to make sure it was okay that I could share this story about him. And he's like, we loved serving. There was nothing, like, they weren't mad. Like, they were choosing. Like, that we, and just to be clear too, the leaders were trying to be cautious about their time, but they felt like they, because they were available, like they couldn't not serve. Does that make sense? And so they served. At the same time, their kids, like most kids were getting involved in extracurricular activities, and sports was a big part of their life. Both of their kids were involved in sports, baseball and soccer. And it was a lot. Sports were becoming something more, though, than just their schedule. Their schedule was very busy because, you know, between practices and games, and it's like sports nowadays is way different than when I was a kid. When I was a kid, it was one sport. You did it for once in a season, like the season might be 3 months or whatever, and then you didn't play that sport again for another year. You might do another sport, but you were never doing the same one. Now it's like if you want to do a sport, you're committing most of the time to do it almost year-round if you want to kind of be competitive or move up into the next league or the next thing. And it becomes a very, like, and it used to be like there was protected days when you were doing after-school activities. There was like Wednesday nights, you didn't have anything. Sundays, you didn't have anything because that wasn't part of the deal. But now, there is no sacred day. Sports are kind of become life. And that was what was happening to Jason and his family. His daughter's playing soccer. His son's playing baseball. Between practices and games and multiple games and multiple teams and things like that, it was a lot. So their schedule became full, but when I was talking to Jason about it, he was like, there was something that was, it wasn't just about the games. Because what was happening is they were spending a lot of time at the ball field, at the soccer pitch. But they were also building community while they were there with the other families. Pretty soon, those other families that were all having to do the same thing, sit there through practices and all those kinds of things, they started to become friends and building relationships. They started actually kind of sharing life together. They would go out after for food, or they would have things that would happen on the weekend where they would gather together. And it became something where it was even pulling not only like his family into that community, but then his extended family also joined. So his in-laws and his started coming, and his sister-in-law, and like started pulling in more people into this new community that was all around sports. And it became a pretty significant commitment for them. So between that and then trying to coordinate the kids' ministry here, they were overwhelmed and something had to give. So they went and they were like, yeah, this is kind of the season we're in with sports and the community and our kids. We need to step away from the children's ministry. And I remember he went to the leaders and just said, hey, we need to, is there any way we can maybe step out of this role? I'm like, yeah, that's fine. And what Jason told me, though, which is the kind of where this kind of goes painful for them and for me, too, to watch it, is that pretty soon they would come on Sunday, and it was their one day off from sports, from work, like anything else that was happening in their world. It was their family day, and they made a point that they were going to come and be a part of this family and be here. And pretty soon there was kind of like, oh, you guys don't help anymore. That was the family that used to help down in the basement, but their kids are still down there. It's like, and whether it was said or unsaid, they felt like that they were letting their family down. People stopped checking in on them. If they didn't show up on a Sunday, or they didn't, you know, they weren't being, you know, invited to things because they weren't part of the ministry that was happening here at the church anymore. And like I said, it wasn't like somebody came out and said, "Hey, we're kicking you out because you're not serving." But it sure felt that way to them. And they're, Some of it was on them. Some of it's just, you know, they felt guilt that maybe wasn't there. But some of it was also that there were people in the church that said, hey, like, if you're going to have your kids in the basement, you should be serving. And eventually, and they did have, there was one conversation that they had where somebody was questioning their priorities. Like, maybe you're spending too much time in sports. Maybe your kids need to take a break. Maybe you guys should, you know, help out a little bit more. This has actually been a really hard story for me. Because, one, I love Jason and his family. And it was really sad to see them leave. And that was the reason. It was kind of at a period of time where I was kind of in and out a little bit too, just because of my schedule. But I remember when he said, hey, you know, we're probably not coming back on Sunday, and told me why, my heart broke. I'm like, that his family needs the church community. His kids needed the church community. One of the other reasons that it kind of broke my heart was because I started to think about church, and I was like, this should look different. This shouldn't be what church is, because it's an obligation to serve. What if instead of making them feel guilty for stepping back from a role inside the church, we could have celebrated the fact that they had discovered the field that God had placed them in? It would have looked very different. So his kids are really, their family is really we're part of their extended family now. This week we actually get to go to see his oldest daughter graduate from college up at PLU. And she actually called to see if we needed tickets, and her message was, you know, Aunt Julie, Uncle Brian, are you guys coming to my graduation? And there was summers where both the kids would come, and I would watch them over the summer while I had Megan and was staying home. And so I used to take them to the soccer practices and to the baseball practices, and I would go to their games as Uncle Brian. And I remember one of the weeks, or one of the games I'd gone to, I was behind the backstop, all the dads that were trying hard not to yell at the ref or the ump would stand behind the backstop and try to, like, just keep their head down, but they wanted to watch. And I was standing there, and it was so interesting. Two things happened while I was standing there. One was I was looking over at Jason, who was, his whole family are in the bleachers. So he's got his other kid that's not playing. She's got friends that are in the bleachers. His in-laws are there. His sister-in-law is there. His wife is there. They're in relationship with the people around him. He's talking to them. He's going up. He's shaking hands. He's giving hugs. He's checking in and seeing how their families are doing. He's like, he is fully invested in this team that they have grown up with over the years. And I remember I'm standing there just kind of watching that, and then there's a dad that's there every week at the backstop too, and he looks over at me and he goes, hey, who's your kid? That was kind of like the standard greeting if you were new. And I'm like, oh, I'm actually just here for a friend. But his son is Jordan out there playing catcher. And he looked at me and he goes, wow. He goes, I've noticed you come a lot. He goes, I just assumed you had a kid. He goes, because most people wouldn't do that. Most people wouldn't take their time to go to a little league baseball game if they didn't have a kid there. That's when it hit me. The baseball field was Jason's field. Their family, those families were the harvest that was waiting. That was the field that God had placed Jason into and his family into. Jason and his wife were doing lifestyle evangelism. They just didn't have the language for it, and the church didn't have eyes to see it. I asked Jason one time back when they were doing this, and I was starting to kind of think this through, what it would mean if we started supporting people out in the field. They said, if we would have had a group from the church come and show up to one of the games and bring snacks for the whole team, or if we came and we just decided to cheer them on for a playoff game or for a special game, like, and we say we brought like 10 to 15 of us to that, like, what do you think the response would be to the families that were there? And he just kind of lit up. He's like, that would have been awesome. That would have absolutely been fun. You know, Jason isn't, you know, Jason is a, he's an accountant. He's not a pastor. He wasn't trying to be an evangelist while he was there on the baseball diamond. He was just showing up as himself, a dad who loved his kids, who loved sports, but he loved those families, and happened to be exactly where God had placed him. And again, we're not talking about a strategy, but we're talking about understanding how the Holy Spirit can move and work through us and use us and call us to areas that are unique to who we are. I have this vision for us as a church. I don't want to see us build a church that is a program of ministries. That's saying, come here to do work, to serve. In ways that would pull you away from the field that God has already called you to. Now, I do want to be clear, because I do think there is absolutely a place for us to serve the body. So I'm not trying to get you off the hook for being a part of helping replant Main Street. This isn't an either or scenario. I think there is it's a both kind of a thing. That when we are faithfully listening to what God is inviting us into, one, he makes way the path that is clear for the field that we are supposed to be focused on and serving. And two, he is also saying, and I want you to come and be a part of the family and the body of Christ together and experience life together and encouragement and equipping and training and be able to serve. And there's also times where your field could be doing something specifically here. I know that there are people over the years, and Diane is somebody who has felt called to serve our kids in the basement. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to rub salt on the wound. But we've had conversations over the years, and I didn't clear this with you, but we've had conversations over the years where she has said, that's where my heart breaks, is for those kids. And so there's opportunities to serve the body and to lean into those gifts and resources that you have and to be a part of that. But when it prevents you from being able to go into the fields and the areas where God has really placed you, that's when it becomes a problem. That's when we have to say, we have to take a step back and say, okay, something has to shift here. I want Sundays to be the place where we also celebrate what God is doing, not only here and in our lives, but what God is doing out there. to hear stories like what John shared about how his neighbor felt cared for and loved because she was being served by John and by people in our own church. And how awesome would it feel if on Sundays, not only do we feel celebrated, but then we feel equipped and we feel ready and encouraged to be sent back out into those fields. And we feel supported instead of feeling guilty. Where we feel encouraged instead of feeling shame. That's what church should look like. That's what it is. Like, we're a family that understands how hard it is to kind of live this life and just exist, to take care of our own stuff. But then we have this burden and this thing that wells up inside of us that is the Spirit that is pouring out of us that is saying, you need to be on mission and sharing the good news with other people. We don't do that alone. We do that together. And we need encouragement. We need to celebrate. We get to celebrate small things in that. And my hope is that we become a church that helps people discover where God has uniquely placed them and see that those places are the fields and that this, as a body, we can come alongside. How cool would it be if we did go to someone's baseball game? I was thinking about the Hazeldale Parade yesterday, and we had two of our teens that were out at the Hazeldale Parade, and it would have been really fun if we would have been able to just take a crew and just get to cheer them on. I think about, and honestly, obviously it's in front of our steps, but Brian, who's not here this morning, but is the president of Uptown Village and the Cruise the Couve event that happens every year. How cool is it that we get to support something that he is passionate about and has built relationships within the community, and where we get to come alongside and just get to support the event that he's putting on? Like, we don't have to be out on that Saturday handing out water or participating, but we get to partner with somebody who is passionate and has been called to a field. It's very much his field, is this neighborhood in the uptown. And all the businesses. I lost where I was at. That doesn't happen too often. But I'm gonna try to wrap this, bring this plane down. What's that? I looked over at the flowers, and that was actually what I thought. So she's already speaking this morning. Maybe she might have pre-done some text messages that just start coming through. Our church should be able to come alongside and be praying with you for the people that God has placed in your heart, for those Francises in those fields. Our church needs to be a place where you can gain tools and language to be able to share your story in faith. And I think most importantly, our church should be a presence joining you in the field when there's opportunities, just like we did last year with John's neighbor. That's what I want this church to look like. Next week I have to go... I have to go to Hood River and go spend some days with some other pastors talking about our church. And one of the things that I was tasked with was I have to write I Have a Dream speech, which is a little daunting. There's no chance that my speech is going to be even remotely as cool or as meaningful or as impactful as Dr. King. Neither is it going to be that... that message was so powerful because it was coming from a place of passion. And I was asked, I have to write one about our church. This is what I envision for our church, is that we're a church that comes together and we love well, that we're a church that experiences the power and the presence of God in our life and the healing that comes and the power that comes from the Holy Spirit, from the Word, and then we get to go out into the fields God's called us to, and we get to come alongside. And it's not about creating more programs and more ministries. I had shared that we have a fifth Sunday coming up on the 31st, and we were originally trying to see if we were going to go back to John's neighborhood or go to another neighborhood. Sylvia had volunteered her house to go do work. And then I was thinking about this talk, and I was like, I want to invite you guys to be a part of the field that God has placed me in, which is the Walnut Grove community. So on the 31st, we have an opportunity to go and do some landscaping at Walnut Grove. We're gonna meet there at the school. It's over by the mall, so it's not far from here, but we're going to meet at 9 a.m. at the school from 9 to 12. And if you go to the next slide, you can see the work that has to happen. There's part of the courtyard, and then you can do the next slide, which shows a little bit more. That's all just really overgrown. It's just supposed to be bushes in there. There's nothing, the undergrowth is not supposed to exist. Whoever in their brilliant strategy of building planning and landscaping thought that natural landscaping was a great option for an elementary school, didn't spend any time at an elementary school, and it looks awful. It looks very much incomplete and messy. So we're going to go, and we're going to do some weeding. We're going to go pull and trim some bushes. And here's the invitation. I want to invite you. I'm going. I did it last year with just a couple of the workers from the school. Like, we basically spent 2 days weeding on our own, on our breaks and lunches and stuff like that. And it made a big difference because they used that courtyard at the end of the year for parents to come and celebrate their kids that are graduating. They use it for awards. They use it for a bunch of different things. And so I asked the principal if there was something we could do, and he's like, man, if you guys could take care of that, that would be awesome. I said, well, I'll see who wants to come with me. So we're going to do that. And if you're sitting here and you're going, you know what, I don't do manual labor, or I can't do manual labor, I still would like to encourage you to come. And the reason I want to encourage you to come is because that is a place that has a lot of brokenness, that is a place where there's a lot of families that are broken, where there's divorce, where there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of families that are going through custody battles and low-income families that don't have enough. That is a place where there's a lot of families that have immigrated to the United States. It has a huge population of Ukrainian and Russian students that are families that are there. There's a lot of darkness and brokenness there. And so even if you're coming and you can't pull weeds or it's not something you want to do, there is an opportunity to come and just pray for that building, to pray for the staff. They've also had a really hard year this year because they had to lay off it was 16 teachers that got notices that they were losing their job. If I was still working there, I would have lost my job this year. So it has been a hard year. And so there's an opportunity just to come and just to pray and to pray protection over that space. So that's the invitation, and you can invite others. That's the thing that's really cool about this, is when you're going to go serve your field, it's not just limited to just yourself or just your church family. Lots of people want to serve. That happened last year. We had some people show up that aren't a part of Main Street come and help at Sylvia's. It's an opportunity where you could say, hey, We're going to go work in an elementary school. And then when they ask why, there's your open door to say why. The other cool piece on this is I have been just slowly just building a relationship with the principal. And the principal just said to me, he's been kind of just, he's been bummed that I wasn't there, but he's also been a guy that I've just been slowly building a relationship with. He's a young, it's his first time being the principal. And when I told him we were going to come, I was trying to figure out, because the courtyard's locked, and I was trying to figure out how we were going to get in there. My badge doesn't work on the weekends. And he goes, he lives out in Ridgefield. He's got a young family. And he's like, I'll be there. He goes, if you guys are coming to serve, he goes, I'll come. How cool would it be if we show up and we can get the work done? And he gets to see that. So we might even try to come up with maybe a way to kind of bless them further during this or in the next couple weeks, but that's what we're doing for sure. And I just want to leave you with this. Is that in Galatians 5:25 it says this, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. The idea of lifestyle evangelism, or evangelism that is part of our life, is that we are present to the Spirit, that we're intentional with our time and our thoughts. And if we're doing those things, just watch and see what the Spirit opens up, the doors that open, the conversations that can come. I truly believe that's what God's calling us to. God's calling us to experience the deeper life inside so that we can go share that with the people that are outside of these walls. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. Man, I did it again. I went way too long. I can't even blame John. I want to.